Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 9th of July, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, because it's Friday, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here today.
Glad to have you. And as always, secure your stuff Friday. Here we are. We have a little bit of news and a practical tip from listener at the end of the show. So, Andrew, let's go ahead and get started. We have a tiny crypto update for people.
Yeah. So PC Mag is one who covered this. Mm-hmm. It sounds like this is only affecting Android users, but I thought it was kind of good to share the news for, everyone anyway.
General awareness is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there are a lot of cryptocurrency scam apps on Android. I think the team found over 170 of them.
Oh, dang.
These apps claim to help you mine Bitcoin in the cloud just by, installing one of these apps on your phone. And, of course, it sounds like most of them were outside of the Google Play Store, although some were in that Play Store. Mm-hmm. So, they charge you money. They have a bunch of in-app purchases. And it sounds like these apps are complete fakes. So one of the quotes I shared was, they offer you this virtual dashboard that lets you monitor the cryptocurrency mining rate. The same dashboard shows you how much virtual coin has been generated. But someone examined the computer code in the apps along with the network traffic and found that the coin balance being displayed was completely fictitious and made up.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That seems not great.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, especially if you're under the impression that you're getting cryptocurrency out of this.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it did say whoever is behind these apps, they were collecting a couple $100,000 overall from these scams.
Oh, so goodness sakes.
Sounds pretty serious. Yeah.
Okay. Not great. So FYI, and these are specifically in the cloud cryptocurrency. Like they were trying, you're supposed to be mining in the cloud, I think was the...
Yeah, that was like kind of the hook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So FYI, not a thing. Basically, just disregard any of that right off the top. So hopefully that's not something that's going to affect a lot of people personally. Also, this one hopefully will not affect a lot of people personally. There's a new wave of ransomware going around.
Right. So the Reval hacking team is back with some new ransomware. They've been behind several other attacks before. It sounds like this new ransomware, it's being called Tsunami. And it sounds like it's another supply chain attack affecting a popular software for enterprise called Kaseya VSA. Mm-hmm. This is popular among so-called managed service providers, which provide IT infrastructure for companies that want to outsource that sort of thing instead of running them themselves. And the report says that means if you can successfully hack an MSP, suddenly you have access to its customers. It says it's the difference between cracking safety deposit boxes one at a time and stealing the bank manager's skeleton key.
Basically, yeah. This is actually something that affects me at work because I have a job where we use software a lot like this. And it stands for... I'm going to forget what it stands for, but it's something services automation. I'm going to forget what it is, but it's basically like the point of it is to help you automate basic things for clients that you have. Like if you are a consulting company, right, and you have like lots of different clients, you keep all that data in a particular place. That's one of the things that's that's a very handy utility to have around to help you track everything. And yeah, it's not great to have that hacked.
So Wired wrote this up. It says, so far, according to security company Huntress, Riva has hacked 8 of these MSPs. And it does sound like Kaseya is pretty popular software. Mm-hmm. Someone called it the Coca-Cola of remote management.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's definitely not great. This is another one of those things where sort of like SolarWinds, like the attack vector is the stuff people use to monitor other computers and endpoints and things. And generally the people doing that sort of monitoring are doing so at some sort of scale, and it's lots of different places. So if you can get into the monitoring software, that gets you into, you know, loads and loads and loads of different companies like that are all using that particular thing. That's part of why the SolarWinds stuff that we talked about previously was so alarming, is because but they only attacked one place, but they attacked the one place, you know, like imagine if everybody who went to a grocery store and bought a can of Coca-Cola, right? Took it home and that can of Coca-Cola like exploded in the fridge after it had been in a new refrigerator for an hour and like, you know, destroyed everything. Like,
yeah,
you know, oh, but it was just Coca-Cola that got hacked. Well, yeah, but every single person that came in contact with it, right? Like, that's the thing with these attack vectors, and that's the part that makes it scary, is how widespread, how widely something like that can spread. So the scale on that is pretty rough. So definitely not great. I hope that doesn't become a thing that gives you a bad time in your day. Because it's really not going to be fun, I guarantee it. Unfortunately, we have more news for you. And this news actually might be likely to be a thing that affects you in your day. And at least it's not ransomware, it's not anything like that. But that doesn't make it any less aggravational, if you're an end user, we'll say.
Mm-hmm. So this story, if you are a user of Kaspersky Password Manager, we've mentioned password managers before. I don't think I know I've never used it, but I don't think we ever really talked about it on the show either.
We've mentioned it's a thing, I think, is about it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're using it, you should probably update your passwords. So that the summary of this report says the password generator that was included in this password manager had several problems. It sounds like the most critical one is that it had used some kind of password generation tool that was not suited for cryptographic purposes. It says its single source of entropy was the current time of the device, which means all the passwords it created could be brute forced in seconds.
Mm-hmm. Because it was basically just always basing the calculation on the time right now. And that's a very easy thing to determine, basically. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you a lot of entropy, and entropy is sort of, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, or at least it was for me when I had it explained to me, but it's sort of the degree of randomness that you can get out of a thing. So, you know, if you want it to be aggressively random, you hear about things like diceware, where you take a handful of dice and you roll them, and those course, and then you have like a word list, and so you take all the numbers off the dice and you match those up to the word list in some fashion, and then depending on which, you know, diceware rules you want to follow, and then you look at the word list and pick your things out of that word list. That's pretty aggressively random, because you have to have, you know, a particular word list and a particular combination of dice rolling and a particular set of math that you do, and so the entropy there is very, very high. Using something like the time on the computer is not very high entropy.
I think in the past I thought I had heard of some kind of software that generated entropy, and all you had to do was, like, you know, jiggle your mouse cursor on the screen for a little bit, and it generated that kind of randomness.
Mm-hmm. yeah, there's lots of ways to get to have sky high values of entropy in things. And you, again, using the time on the computer, it's not one of those things. So that makes it a little harder to change. Now, as you said, this has been updated. This isn't a thing that they're using anymore as part of the, like, it may be part, but it's not the only calculation anymore for the system, yeah. You know, using the system time. So if you had things that you were doing in a Kaspersky password manager, it would be a good idea to update all of those. But yeah, it's definitely not great if it's a thing that you're interested in. Particularly, you should be interested in it because if you're using any password manager, you want to make sure you get a good amount of entropy in that stuff, and that you're, because you want your data to be safe. It's the whole reason you're using a manager in the first place. So definitely a good idea to make sure that that's happening on a regular basis.
Yeah. I'm not seeing the date in front of me right now. Now I can't find it, but I thought it said the weak passwords were ones generated before October 2019, I think.
Yeah. So another point in favor of, you should rotate your passwords occasionally, especially if you're letting your password manager take care of them, because it's not like you knew what it was in the first place. So it's a good time to go ahead and take a shot at that.
Yeah.
Always a good idea. Now, we have one more. This week in data privacy, I guess, is what we're talking about today. We don't have any data leak info today. I just want to point out, like, the tiny bit of good news this week is that we're not here to tell you about anybody that has stolen your information or has gotten it through unsavory intentions. But we do have some data privacy awareness that we definitely want to talk about.
Yes. Yeah, so a reminder, probably a good reminder, I think, for this story is check out the privacy policies of the apps and services you're yeah. using. So 9to5Mac came out with this report, I think. And they talk about how Audacity, which is a popular piece of free audio software, it sounds like it has new owners.
Yes.
And they updated the app's privacy policy on July 2nd with new data collection provisions. Let's see. Some of the data, the personal data they collect now, the reason is data necessary for law enforcement, litigation, and authorities' requests, if any, without any limitations. Let's see. So it says the analytics are limited to more specific information, which includes the OS version, CPU, user country based on your IP address, and error codes.
And then my favorite bit is that they collect data. This is what they say it is: data necessary for law enforcement, litigation, and authorities' requests, if any. And yeah. The why we collect it reason is for legal enforcement. That's what they're saying. It's now, I will say, this is an open source project. So Audacity is open source and free. It does come in a macOS version and in a Windows version. And it's entirely possible that you have an old version installed on your computer if you've ever had to edit audio and you are not a person who has a preferred audio editor because you do it regularly, then it's entirely likely that, like, at some point you downloaded it and, you know, took 10 seconds off the end of that MP3 or whatever it was you were trying to do. And, you know, there it sits on your computer, whether it's a Mac or a PC, like I said. So, it is open source. You can download older versions. So if you need something, you know, if you do need it, you can download a version that doesn't have any of this stuff as part of it, which is good. I do know a number of people who use Audacity, so I've been sort of accidentally following this story very closely too this last couple of weeks. And part of it is just like I said, it's open source, so you can just get an older version if you want something different. But also it's very likely that somebody's going to just fork development off that main release and have an actual free open source version that's not one that's owned by Muse Group, which is who has taken it over now. So
yeah, Yeah, definitely. I'm sure someone will create a new project based off the source code.
Yeah, or you can just, you know, pick up the older one, like we said, you know, also an option. So the other thing we wanted to talk about today, of course, is the practical tip. And today's practical tip comes to us from Alex. And I will tell you that if you wish for your practical tip to be featured on the Security Friday, or if you just want to make sure that there's something that we highlight, you can absolutely send us a message. You can go to you can email observations@macobserver.com, send us something there. You can go to TMO Daily on Twitter and get a hold of us that way, or you can just leave comments in the show notes if you want us to, if you have a tip to share with us that you would like for us to use, or if you would like to ask us like to step through something that you would like to know. So a very easy one for this week is password protecting a PDF. And yeah, you can do this in preview on your Mac.
Yeah, I think this is a good tip specifically because, you know, preview is just one of those apps already installed on your Mac. Mm-hmm. It's a default app that manages PDFs, and I think you can do some things with images in it too. Mm-hmm. So the tip is that, open a PDF on your Mac and choose File, Export up in the menu bar, and then you'll see an option to select Encrypt. Mm-hmm. You can also enter a new name for the PDF if you want to create a password protected one and leave the original PDF unencrypted. Mm-hmm. So type in a password, hopefully using a password manager.
Yeah,
and then
ideally.
You just have to retype it just to verify it and then save it.
Yeah. You can also open up that password. You can export it again as an unencrypted version if you decide it doesn't need to be encrypted anymore. If you are using a password manager that doesn't have a secure note feature, some of them do, some of them don't, or if you're not using a password protected note in the Notes app, if you have a PDF that you need to send somebody and you want to make sure that only the person on the other end is the person who can see it, a password is an easy way to do that. So, yeah. In non-Security Friday related news, Preview continues to get updates and improvements and features added to it that make it more and more capable as a thing that you can use with PDFs. So, if you get an opportunity, sit down and dig through some of the stuff that it can do for you. And there's a whole lot there. It's much better than its sort of initial iteration, which was you don't need Acrobat because Mac OS just gives you this utility that lets you open a PDF for free as part of the operating system. So there's a lot of other stuff that it can do for you. But one of the big ones, particularly for the Security Friday show, is password protecting. So, as Andrew took us through it, like it's literally four steps. One of them is click open on the PDF and one of them is click save. So 50% of it is something you're already doing in preview anyway. The other part's just slightly different. So if you have a tip for us, you can send it to observations@macobserver.com. We will highlight it and give you a shout out on the show. So I think that's going to do it for us today. Andrew, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.